listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Excuse us if we may, because a couple guys got to catch up a little bit. It's been a minute. It's been a minute, and I'm so excited to be sitting back in this chair looking right at you, Bucky Brooks. What's happening?
Yo, so I didn't know that we were going to have a reunion today. Like, I knew we were going to have, like, a little reunion on the air, but I didn't know we were going to be face-to-face. I thought we were going to talk. I thought we were going to have, like, a little phone catch-up, but now here we are. Face to face, how long has it been?
It's been at least 3 years. You were on my show about, up in the Bay Area just like two weeks ago.
That's different though, because when I get on your show, like, I know I'm only going to be on there once every 3 or so months, so I can wild out and then hang up, and then I can go about my day. I can say some craziness. I can give you a hot take.
That's because
I give you a nugget.
Respond to me like one out of every three times I ask.
That's why if I always responded, then it wouldn't be as appealing when you do catch
me.
That's true.
We want more. Is that what it is?
A little bit. Now, unfortunately, I have to sit for 2 hours and watch you beam with your chest out about one of your favorite teams finally reappearing and reemerging as a team that is hot in the NBA. Because I'm sure you're going to talk about the Warriors at some point and Steph Curry.
I bet my guys.
All that other stuff. I'm sure that's coming up, because for 2 years I couldn't hear anything about it. But now they're back.
Why do you think why do you think I left? I left Fox. And I'm like, the Warriors are hurt and injured. But as soon as they went 17-2, hey, Scott Shapiro.
Now you're back.
I'm back.
I'm here.
I'm Cam Newton.
I'm back.
So, anyway, in for Joy Taylor today, Mark Willard, Bucky Brooks, and honestly, I'm getting all the feels, and I'm excited to be sitting here and chopping it up with you. However, I do have some unfortunate news for you, because obviously, and even since you and I sat here in these chairs 3 years ago, I mean, look at you. I mean, you had 100 jobs back then. But my gosh, like, watching everything grow in the world of Bucky Brooks has been fantastic and a whole lot of fun. But unfortunately, I'm about to give you the Jim Harbaugh treatment, which is that you've built this wonderful career, Fox Sports Radio, Move the Sticks, and NFL Network, and you're a coach, and you do all of these things so well. However, I am simply going to spotlight the next 5 minutes of your radio career, and if it's not perfect, you're gone. I don't care about anything else that you've done. We're only going to spotlight the next five minutes.
And
if those next 5 minutes are not winning 5 minutes, Bucky, We're done with you.
That's it. All right, five minutes.
So do it well. All right. You have the floor. The floor is yours.
Oh, spotlight 5 minutes? I can just do whatever it is that I want to do, because I think it's also fitting that on a day when the big game is going, in which Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines are taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes.
And about to start the second half, up by one, just to let everybody know.
They're up. And I know that someone in this studio, who's not me, loves to give somebody with the little winged helmet a bit of a problem. I think you like to give them a tough time if it doesn't go their way. And because it typically and traditionally hasn't gone their way, I know this pains you for a little bit.
I mean, listen.
Unless you're one who loves, like, the heartbreak hotel story at the end of games, if it doesn't.
No, I'm all about success in life. I'm about building people up. I'm not about knocking people down. I just know the way this story is probably going to go. We already know how this chapter ends, don't we? I mean, it's nice. Michigan is number 5 in the country. They're up 14-13.
Yes.
Some ref is going to make some ridiculous call.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to trip and fall. Somebody's going to slip in the flurries that are taking place right now at the big house. Something is going to happen in this football game, and then we're going to have to talk for a week. Colin will be ready to go on Monday morning with a big Jim Harbaugh take.
You guys will be ready to fire my guy.
I've been, you know, I love my Jim Harbaugh. This guy coached the 49ers and Stanford. I love Jim Harbaugh. I think that it has been a fascinating conversation for the last few years. A guy that's gone 59-23 since he's taken over at the Big M. 5 of his 7 years at the helm, they have at least had a few weeks inside the top 10,
yeah,
whatever rankings mean. But 5 of 7 years, this guy's been ranked in the top 10. 59-23 is his record. But nobody wants to look at anything. Nobody even wants to acknowledge 10-1 right now. No. They simply want to wait for this game.
Yeah.
And if you can't win this game, you stink.
How many,
is that not the way we treat him?
I mean, that's the way we treat everybody right now. Like,
is
the story
it?
Is already written. The story is already written. We're just waiting. We're just waiting to hit send. We're waiting for the end, and boop, we're going to send the tweet. We're going to send the story. We're going to do all that other stuff to tear him apart. But this should be good, man, because we actually going to have to sit here and watch the end of it. So
yeah,
it should probably end while we're still on.
No, there's no doubt. No doubt. Probably about 12:30, 12:40, we'll sit here, and we'll bring you this. But to me, even looking at what they're already doing, I'm
surprised.
A little bit
because here's the thing coming into this game, and I talked to people about it because they were like, oh, you just saw them roll over Michigan State, Ohio State.
Right.
This, oh, they're going to what? I said, hey, it's hard to play two emotional games back-to-back. It's hard to play perfect back-to-back weeks. This might be the perfect time for Michigan to get them. And so I'm not going to lie. When I got in the car early, I finished working. I was like, oh, 7-3.
All right.
I'm a little surprised. Michigan is up.
Yeah. You thought 28-10.
I was hoping. I just didn't want. I was like, come on.
Come on.
We gotta get a good one. Let's see what this looks like. And lo and behold, Michigan, they're running the football. They're doing their stuff.
They've been the aggressor. Yeah. They've doubled Ohio State's rushing total. So it's been and again, the snow, if you're not watching this game, it's flurries, and they got a big play up the middle right now. And they're running the ball. So now they're set up in the red zone, long run down to about the 13-yard line.
Yeah.
1st and 10 for Michigan, already up by 1. But in a game on the doorstep of December with flurries on the ground,
mm-hmm,
Michigan is winning this game so far in the trenches, only by 1 point on the scoreboard. But they have been the aggressor in this game. I guess my point is, when you're not one of the players, Jim Harbaugh was a quarterback.
Yeah.
He's not the quarterback now.
Yeah.
He's the head coach. Did Michigan come prepared today?
They look like they're prepared.
Do they look prepared?
They look well
Do they
prepared.
Look like they have a good game plan?
Yeah, they do.
Do they look like they are emotionally and mentally ready for the moment?
Absolutely.
Okay, if they do, they just pulled in for a touchdown to take a 7, potentially 8-point lead.
Yeah.
Have you not already, therefore, seen enough
to be impressed
to say, get the heck off of Jim Harbaugh's back?
I don't know why they were ever on his back.
I'm with you.
And so it's funny because I'm sure we will get to this. I am beginning to believe college football fans might be the worst when it comes to expectations.
That's because Mark, a good conversation.
Mark, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the jobs that are available, and I'm sitting here trying to figure out, if this is a game of musical chairs, there are way more chairs than people to sit down in.
Yes.
And I know every school fancies themselves as like the elite school that every coach wants to go. Because we're sitting here in L.A. right now. Where SC is like, surely somebody wants to come and fill this seat.
SC for 15 years, whenever the seat's open, they're like, we should go get Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Belichick, like, I'm sure Belichick, Urban Meyer, whoever. Come on, they're all going to come there.
They're
dying to come to
dying.
USC.
So we got SC. We have Florida.
Yep.
I mean, Dan Mullen's record was almost impeccable. Like, they sent him out of there after 5 and 6 season. And then you have LSU.
Right.
And then let's take it down a notch. You got UW. But UW still out UW. West feel like, hey, UW. We're UW. We should get – so I'm sitting here and I'm like, Louisiana Tech lets their guy go. Sonny Dykes leaves from SMU to go to TCU, which, I mean – you just drive across town? Like, do you even move your house? Like do you move?
Convenient.
Do you move from Dallas to Fort Worth? Like, how does that work? So SMU is open, and I'm just sitting here like, okay, who are the hot names to fill it? Because this year, unlike any other year, we haven't even really heard a lot of hot names where we're talking about, oh, well, this guy definitely is ready to get the head job. There's Chadwell at Coastal. There's my guy Napier at Louisiana. Okay, there's two guys, but
right,
who else? Who else is going to fill these seats?
Hmm.
Mark Willard.
James Franklin.
Oh, look.
No.
You know what I love about all of this? I'm saying sarcastically.
His name, that's his.
I love
James Franklin in college football is like Las Vegas in terms of professional sports relocation. Like, we're just, no matter who you are, no matter what you need, just say Vegas. The Raiders did it, and then they actually went. But the Oakland A's are doing it right now. James Franklin is sitting out there. Whenever somebody needs it, just, well, James Franklin, we'll just go get James Franklin.
You know, I don't know.
James Franklin's got a pretty good job as it is.
Oh, but man, he and Mel Tucker. Like, if this was the poker table, he, Mel Tucker, and Dave Aranda, all those guys are sitting at the poker table just, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I should throw it in or not. And lo and behold, everybody, now the new thing, now it's 8 or more year contract extensions?
I mean, I can
get a 10-year extension. Not a 2 or 3. I am getting 10 years. 10 years just because someone may utter my name. Hey, I don't know.
There's never enough money, is there? I mean, this is what we spoke for years about, the idea of the players getting a piece. And once they finally open it, it's like, the players now finally get a piece. Oh, now watch what we're going to do to the coach. You thought the coaches were making too much then. Now let's give the players just a little. You get five bucks for your autograph.
You get a little five bucks for your autograph.
Watch what we're going to do now.
Holy smokes. It is unbelievable what is going on.
I'm glad you're with me on this. Because Jim Harbaugh, I mean, from multiple points, it's always been the case. And the extra point is up and good. And so Michigan is up 21-13, and they're kicking off to the Ohio State University, 11:50 to go in the third quarter. We will keep you up to date all the way along at the Big House, where it is just a light dusting, a light dusting there on the field. But Michigan is running the ball, and they do look real good. And there's always that question, because fire the coach. Fire the coach is a phrase that just gets uttered in cities all over America every single year, right?
But the
question that never follows it up, because people are usually just at a party or drunk at a game or whatever, fire the coach. The question that should always be followed up is, okay, so who do you want next? Right? Do that at the party when someone's had the five beer. Fire the coach. All right.
Okay.
Who do you want?
Who are we bringing?
It's like, okay, I got to go to the bathroom. Like, nobody's got a good answer to that ever. And that's always, now for 7 years, that has been the question to ask any Michigan fan that's upset about Jim Harbaugh and his 10 wins that he gets every single year.
Who are you going to hire?
Who are you going? The question is better now than it's ever been.
We'll take Matt Campbell. All right, that's cool.
Right.
Maybe
today's the day. Because now, if he wins today.
Maybe he's like, well, maybe.
Now what? Yeah, right.
Maybe he's like, you know. Because you got to remember
that. I want that USC job. No.
Because they cut his buyout. They made him take a pay cut.
No, but so maybe today's the day that Michigan, for now and forever, just shh.
But you've got your guy.
No, but you always had your guy.
Because we know how he is, though. We know how Harbaugh is. So now if they flip the tables a little bit, because he took the pay cut. So now you're really gonna have to boo him up. Now you're gonna have to give him a 10-year deal.
All right. So what this all means for Harbaugh, we'll continue with that. Also, we'll get you ready for Rams and Packers tomorrow, among other. I know you're ready for this one. And I actually have a question. The Rams are not the example, but they are an example of a question that I really want to ask you, especially because you are a former player, a coach. I feel like you're a talent evaluator.
Yeah.
On some level, right?
Some level.
You are, therefore, the perfect person to ask about what is the right way to build a team.
Mm.
And I'll tell you why that is a fair question for the Rams-Packers game, which is coming up tomorrow. So in for Joy Taylor, it's just nothing but co-hosts of mine. It's all like in for Joy Taylor, former co-host of mine. Bucky Brooks, former co-host of mine.
I didn't know you and Joy.
Joy and I did a show for a year. Yeah, when no she idea. First came to L.A.
I had no idea.
Oh,
I had no idea. I had no idea I was a sloppy second. I had no idea. I had no idea I was a backup.
No.
I had no idea I was a backup. I was never. A backup plan.
Never.
Gosh.
Never.
That's it. I feel like we're on The Bachelor, and I was just like the one that was off to the side.
When you played in the league, were you were a starter, right?
Oh, no, I was a backup.
Okay, you're back. Okay,
I was a valuable
backup. So you're used to it. All right, this is Mark Willard and Bucky Brooks on Fox Sports Radio. Mark Willard, Bucky Brooks in for Joy Taylor. Do you have Christmas music rules?
I mean, I'm fine with it. Look, we're past Thanksgiving, so I'm fine with it. I do think it's a little premature.
Oh,
for
you
a lot
think
of
it's
people.
Still premature? See,
I mean,
here's
a little bit.
Here's what
a
I'm. Bit. I kind of figure it's 2021. Let's stop with the whole rules. If you want to drink Cabernet with your pasta, do it. Okay? Just stop with putting these rules on everybody. I got a lot of people in the family who, if you play, do we have a big play? Michigan's down inside the 10 again.
Jim Harbaugh is opening
Jim
the
Harbaugh.
They just ran a flea
Jim,
flicker.
Jim Harbaugh.
They just ran a flea flicker.
He did?
They just ran a flea flicker.
He didn't.
Oh, they ran a flea flicker.
Is Harbaugh in a straight jacket? Who did that?
Oh.
Somebody? Oh, they
oh,
did.
Oh,
they did,
boy.
In it, and it
oh,
worked.
Boy.
Oh, it worked. It was a beautiful play. Down the left sideline and inside the 10, Michigan is up 8 and first and goal. And they're loving it at the Snowy Big House. Anyway, I got a lot of people in my family who, if Christmas music comes on before Thanksgiving, they'll pitch a fit.
Yeah.
They'll cover their ears. They'll tell you to change the channel.
I don't want to see the tree up.
Well, that happens. I mean, my gosh, I just moved recently. I ended up at a Crate and Barrel like a month ago. There's a Christmas tree up.
I know it. I know it.
I'm like,
the house is too big.
It wasn't Halloween
yet. The house is too big.
The house is not big.
So now you
can't even
graduate. You graduated from one tree to like now you have three trees.
That's right.
You got like the tree upstairs. Yeah. You got the tree in the kids' rooms. You got the tree downstairs. Like that's what we're doing.
That's right. Yeah. 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 Got so big, you get to come back and fill in on Fox Sports Radio.
I mean, I know Bay Area real estate a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You can't even call it a house. But anyway, point being, there are Christmas trees up before Halloween. I love listening. You know, you give me some Nat King Cole. I don't care if it's July. Like, we're fine here. But for a lot of people, Thanksgiving has to be over before you can listen to it. And so now, release the hounds. We're good here. Right?
Yeah.
Do you need to wait for December 1st? What do you need?
December. It needs to be December.
Okay.
It needs to be December before we get into it. We need to be in December before we get to it. Just you know.
So Jim Harbaugh is looking really good, and we'll keep you up to date on Michigan. This game coming up tomorrow between the Rams and the Packers, I think is going to be really telling, and it's going to be game three for McVay and Stafford and the group, is this actually a problem that they've got here, or can they get this thing back on track? Because the Titans took them to task, and then the 49ers, a desperate 3-5 at the time 49er team, just dominated them on Monday Night Football a week and a half ago. And then they had a bye, and so here they go. And they've gotten themselves another really difficult matchup against the Packers. So we'll see how they look. But I'm thinking back to that Monday night game against the 49ers, and I thought Lewis Riddick made a really interesting comment because this was right after Odell Beckham had been signed. And if you want to go through the history now of the Rams, yes, they do have some homegrown players. Cooper Kupp is one of the top receivers in the league. Obviously, Aaron Donald anchors the defense. These are drafted players. But outside of that, the Rams have decided that the draft is for somebody else. They don't want Bucky Brooks' analysis on the damn mock draft. The Rams are not even going to be the whole mock draft. We don't need the draft.
What are we doing?
We've got SoFi Stadium, and we're going to play a game. I've been talking about this for 3 years.
Yeah.
We're going to play a game called I've Heard of You.
Yeah.
And if somebody that I've heard of is available, then we want them on the Rams. Okay, Jalen Ramsey, come on to the Rams. Okay, Odell Beckham, you're a Ram. Von Miller, you're a Ram. And everyone's like, how's the salary cap even work? Like, how do you fit all this? But Lewis's comment was, as the 49ers took him behind the woodshed, Lewis's comment was, by the way, touchdown Michigan. Is it too early to say the route is on?
No. We won't talk about that. No, you can't say that yet.
I can't.
We've seen too many of these things.
About two scores plus a 2-point conversion.
I dig it, though.
Okay. 27-13, Michigan with an extra point pending. But Lewis's comment was, as the 49ers are taking the Rams down, there's a big difference between team building and talent collecting.
Yeah.
What do you think about that comment?
It's a true comment. It's a very real comment, because part of what you're doing when it comes to the evaluation team building process is you want to make sure that you're fitting the puzzle together, right? So you want to have enough complementary pieces that make the team stronger. And when you have a bunch of talent and the talent doesn't necessarily jive together, it's a very talented team, but it's not a team. And so when he speaks to, hey, you got to make sure that you're building a team and not just collecting relics. So you can say, hey, we got all this talent and we're about to play a video game and we're going to operate in silos. It doesn't work like that. But what I would push back on Lewis a little bit when it comes to the Rams and what they're doing is in L.A., in L.A., there's a certain – I'm a big believer – the way you build your team also has to reflect the city that you're in.
Okay.
So
interesting comment.
In L.A., when we think about the successful franchises that exist in L.A., this is a Lakers town. And when you think about how the Lakers have traditionally operated and built championship teams, that's what the Lakers have done.
Have they?
The Lakers aren't necessarily a homegrown team.
Magic Johnson?
Oh, yeah.
Homegrown? That's cool.
Oh, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Kobe Bryant?
Shaq?
Okay, fine.
Listen, so what I'm saying,
you always have to, you even the homegrown teams, no, the Warriors, no, but, the Warriors for years got a lot of credit. But they sprinkle in a Durant.
But in LA we don't sprinkle. Let's go all the way back, because when you talked about Magic.
10-11, no.
Hold up. We're talking about that. But let's go all the way back, because we're talking about from a historical perspective about LA. Because I'm not an LA guy. I didn't grow up in LA, but I've lived here for like 20 years. I'm kind of LA-ish.
All logoed
up. I'm kind of LA-ish.
Yeah, like five Nike swooshes on you in Sherman Oaks, California. You look LA to me.
I mean, good sponsorship. Sponsorship. Like, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Do you got some leftovers? What size are you, by the way?
I'm a little heavy right now. Okay. But when we think about LA, so you talk about the Lakers. And I think everything is kind of off that model, because they are super entertaining. Everyone knows the city of LA. It represents Hollywood. When the games were good, everybody's there. Jack Nicklaus on the wood. You go in, maybe have one homegrown star. Maybe two, because Byron Scott back in the day. So you had Magic and Byron Scott, they're homegrown. But then you have Bob McAdoo come off the bench. You would have these other guys that would always come in for Michael Thompson.
Don't forget Worthy. Don't leave out James Worthy.
Yeah, some, but like
big game.
Yeah, but I mean the cap.
Yeah,
cap. Will, like, just think about all the stars that LA has brought in over the years and how they go about it. So now LeBron, they like for you to develop them. We appreciate it. We'll take it from here now. Thanks for all that hard work that you've done, but we'll take it from here and we'll make them a star. That's what they've done. So when you're the Rams and you're fighting for space, you're fighting for entertainment dollars. Hey, man, it's cool if you want to be that old school, rough and rugged Cleveland Browns style and all that. Hey, man, we're going to ain't going to get tickets.
Okay.
They're not going to buy tickets,
this
dog.
This is fascinating to me. So hold this conversation right there, because there's definitely there's more fruit on that tree. So let's keep that going. But in the meantime, not just Michigan and Ohio State, but an update on all the big games that are going on around the country right now. Let's find out what's trending with Ralph Irvin. Ralph, good day. What's up?
Bucky's not wrong except for one thing. LA's first a Dodgers town, but they do the same formula. A lot of homegrown, right. And then you sprinkle in your stars.
We'll come in with controversial statements like LA is a Dodgers town. You're going to get this thing totally off the rails. But you guys are forgetting one huge aspect of the idea of giving stars to the LA fans, which I'll hold until after you're done, Ralph. But what's going on?
Well, 12:40 to play in the fourth quarter. Number one, Georgia, 38-0 now over Georgia Tech, the number one team. Well, they're pretty much playing like it. Meanwhile, things are happening at the Big House.
First and goal. They turn. They give it to Haskins. He's going to go around left end. He's going to score. Hassan Haskins, his third touchdown of the day. A one-yard run, and the Wolverines extend their lead over the Buckeyes.
Jim Brandstatter from Learfield, Michigan, pushing the Ohio State defense around the fields, and then the last drive they went trickeration and threw it all over the Buckeyes. It's been an interesting one so far. 28-13, Michigan leads Ohio State, 5:39 to play in the third quarter. Number 8, Baylor, a 20-10 lead over Texas Tech, 13-21 to play in the fourth quarter. 2:17 to play in the third. Number 18, Wake Forest, 34-10 lead now over Boston College. And number 24, Houston, doing what has to be done, 31-10 over UConn, 6:02 to play in the third quarter. Also, they are underway. Yeah. In North Texas. That's where the Mean Green have a 10-3 lead over number 22, UTSA. That's San Antonio for those that don't know. But right now, we'll send it back to the Joy Taylor Show. It is Mark Willard and Bucky Brooks sitting in.
Ralph, thank you very, very much. And happy holidays to all, especially Joy. I hope she's getting some good time and relaxation out there. You guys are forgetting one very, very clear thing in this conversation about delivering stars to L.A., whether they're homegrown or not. Because there is a dynamic there that I think you're tapping into that's very, very true, and that is to match the roster to the market, right? I to me, if you're given two options of a winning team, One has a homegrown feel, and the other one has a mercenary feel. The homegrown feel is the one that is better for fans. Like, I live and work in the Bay Area. I've done this a few times with Bay Area fans. Go down the list of the biggest named athletes in the San Francisco Bay Area right now. How far do you go down before you get to one that was not drafted here? Okay. Mm-hmm. In no particular order, Steph, Clay, Dre, George Kittle, Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt.
But that's it's also a different market. It's a different dynamic.
It's a different market. You're right there. However, you have to win.
Yeah,
the Lakers are 10-11.
You're talking about right now. Though.
I am talking,
you're talking about right now. You're talking about right now. You act like I'm a Laker fan. I'm not a Laker fan.
I know you're
fan.
Not a Laker fan.
I'm just
but
saying,
are you
like,
still of the belief
about,
that team is going to be there in the
I mean,
end?
No, I'm dead. That's what they are. They're 10-11. However,
they're bad.
Whatever it is, but here's what we can say. Of those two teams that you speak of, the Warriors and the Lakers, I think one hung a banner more recently. Southern Cal, right? So
sorta.
No, not sorta. No. They won the deal.
I'm not a buyer.
They won the deal.
It doesn't matter
if you're a buyer.
When we walk into
what is it? What is it? Crypto? It's not. What is the name of the new thing?
Call it the crypt.
The crypt.
Yeah.
When we walk into the spot, the banner is the banner. And the banner came.
The banner needs to be half the size of the other banners.
The banner came because LeBron came, and then he brought his buddy.
That's right.
AD.
That's right.
Neither homegrown.
Correct.
And that's what they've always done.
And so do you believe that banner to be as special as Kobe Bryant's banners and Magic Johnson's banners?
I think
because if you ask most Laker fans, what year did they win the championship? They'd have to stop and think about it, and it was only a year and a half ago.
I mean, that's because they're so used to winning.
Oh.
Right? Aren't they the winningest when it comes to them and the Celtics?
I don't know.
So
you have to
different.
Go through all those Warriors championships so, before you get back to I mean, the more it's, recent it's, so, actual so that, full-season Laker championship.
So that's what we're saying. We're saying in L.A., because that same year, it was a great year for L.A., because it was the Lakers and the Dodgers.
Right.
Both.
So they got one championship. Two halves make a whole.
like,
and you get
so,
one, you get a so Dodger Laker so combo
that's,
ring.
So that's part of the deal. Like, part of the area is because – L.A. is so desirable because of Hollywood and all the other stuff.
Well, and the Dodgers, for instance, take them as an example to what we're talking about. Now, I know they didn't end up winning this year, and they did sprinkle in big names, trade deadline, Max Scherzer, Trey Turner.
Mookie Betts.
Right, Mookie Betts. However, because there's never anything wrong, obviously, with getting a big free agent or trading if it's one or two players. But the core, the base of your team, Like the Dodgers for years, they've done it with Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger. There have always been players that were not drafted there sprinkled in, but you know, Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, these guys were homegrown Dodger farm system players. You have to have some of that on your team or your team has no soul.
Yeah,
the Los Angeles Lakers this year, and the funny thing is about the Lakers, they fell into the same trap that they fell into a decade ago. Do you remember the cover of Sports Illustrated? And there was Kobe Bryant. There was homegrown Kobe.
You talking about with
Kobe was
with all the old people?
He was flanked.
You talking with Carl and Gary Payton?
No, he was flanked by Dwight Howard and Steve Nash and Pau Gasol and Meta World Peace. And they were all arm in arm, smiling at the camera. And they were going to win the title because of all these big names. Look at the size of the names on these guys, Bucky.
I mean,
the 8 seed and swept out of the playoffs by the San Antonio Spurs. You can't just give people names because it's L.A. Woohoo! Glitz, glamour. You can give me Odell Beckham and Von Miller. You've been blown out the last 2 weeks. Blown out. You think L.A. is showing up for that just because they've heard of the players?
Nah, but just that part of it is... It's all part of a thing, but here's it's all part of the process, and I'm not necessarily advocating.
Are you going to trust the process now?
I'm just saying it's L.A. This is what you have to do in L.A. because I think the hardest thing to do is to turn picks into players. Like think of all the teams who've had like a ton of draft picks and like, oh my God, they won the draft, they got all these picks. Hardest thing to do is to go behind door number one and say that door number one is going to be a player. To me, I'm a big fan of, I like players over picks. I like the draft. The draft is cool. You need to make sure that you have enough players that come out of the draft to develop your team and all that. But if I have an opportunity to take a proven guy, a proven commodity over something else, I'm going to go with the proven guy. Now, the two guys that you kind of touched on, Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. One, Von Miller is not in his prime anymore. If we were talking about Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, we need to talk about Von Miller Super Bowl MVP.
Yep.
That's a different product. When we talk about Odell Beckham Jr., who is still 1 year removed from an ACL, still nursing the shoulder chicken wing because he's running around chasing those errant passes that Baker Mayfield was throwing all over the yard. It's a different also. So there's something too. You want to make sure that the players that you get in the prime, I would say that Jalen Ramsey hadn't been a disappointment.
No.
Aaron Donald's homegrown.
Right. I mentioned that. Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp, those are your guys.
Homegrown. There you go. That's your Laker theory.
Homegrown. Yeah, you got it.
Aaron Donald's Kobe.
That's fine. Great. Except for he could walk down the street and 8 out of 10 people in L.A. be like, wow,
that doesn't matter. But that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about their on field game.
We're talking about recognizability, star power.
Yeah, on the field, people recognize when he puts on his jersey. He puts on his jersey.
What, like David Hasselhoff?
He puts on his jersey. People know who he is.
You can't walk around with your jersey.
You can't even tell when you have a helmet on.
A Ram player going to the grocery store with his jersey on. That'd be ridiculous.
I'm just saying, Aaron Donald he's Kobe.
He's great. He's great. Right. He might be the best defensive player in the game. And yes, was drafted.
Is there no doubt? There's no doubt.
He's the best defensive player in the game.
Best
okay.
One.
And I'll accept that. However, the process the Rams are using, and there are a bunch of pieces of your premise I buy. Players over picks? Absolutely. Absolutely. However, on the back end of your process, there needs to be something that works.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams have not won anything with this process. The Lakers, you mentioned a COVID championship that they won. Yes,
Only you mentioned the COVID championship.
I will announce myself as somebody who does not believe that the championships of that year are the same as other championships.
I think all championships are the same.
That's fine.
Because the Astros are beating trash cans and all that other stuff. But you know what happens? They got a banner up.
You feel like the Astros acted alone. You're one of those folks.
We got so many different rules. I just know they hang banners. I just want banners.
Anyway.
I want banners.
No, there's a ton of what you're saying that is true, and I buy it, but it has to work. So for the Rams, who are certainly playing a PSL game as much as an NFC West game. They are they not?
Yeah.
They are.
They are.
Right?
You got field seats.
And it, right. And
Super
then,
Bowl's right here.
Hard enough to fill those seats in a market like this. Mm-hmm. Then you get COVID. It becomes even more impossible to fill. So I get what they're doing. But if it's not combined with wins, what exactly are you doing?
We don't know yet. That's why this Sunday is so important. It's okay. Like a progress report. You see
right.
where we're at.
Right.
Because that's what happened. The reason why this whole thing started is because of last year, well, not even 10 months ago, in January, when they went up there, and Sean McVay is on the sideline, and he's looking at his buddy. I don't know if you have a competitor in the radio business that you always are looking to see what they're doing, but then you look up, and your competitor looks like he's having a ton of fun, and he just took your PA. So your PA's up there, and he's like, oh, my God, I've never had so much fun. That's basically what Sean McVay was doing when he looked at Matt LaFleur with Aaron Rodgers. This is my system. I taught you how to do radio. But now I've taken this structure, and I put it in with another guy, and now I'm popular.
I love that you think there are PAs in radio. I really I'm excited.
Assistant.
Yeah, I'm
somebody.
Excited. Where is my assistant? I've been doing this for 25 years. I don't know.
Somebody.
I don't
somebody.
Have an assistant
intern.
Yet. Mark Willard and Bucky Brooks in for Joy. We'll keep going in this. I'd like to know who you think is going to win this game between the Rams and the Packers. And also, with regard to how the college football season is going to play out, one of our colleagues, Rich Ornberger, said something yesterday on Twitter that I want to run by you and see if you agree with him, because that was an interesting statement as well. So all of that around the corner coming up on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nat can sing in July. I do not care about your rules. I don't care about your rules.
Oh, my God.
Did Ohio State go in?
They did go in.
They're in?
Pending a review.
Wait a minute. The arms go up?
Pending a review.
I think he's in. I don't know. I don't know how you could tell me he didn't go in. He went into a pile of humanity. That knee is down right there. But where's the ball? Nobody knows. I don't know if he got in.
Mm.
But I don't know how you're going to overturn that either. Do you?
Nah, you don't have enough.
You don't have anything, right? Mm. So do we have a football game? Boy, that's just what Jim Harbaugh needs.
That's what you want. Man, come on, man. Look,
but
you got, Monty Williams say? On the everything you want is on the other side of hard.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Can't be easy. Can't be
it
easy.
It hasn't been easy.
It's not going to be easy. I know you're used to easy being up in the Bay when the Warriors bring over Kevin Durant and make it really easy for everybody. You talk about wanting to earn it, but then they bring him over. They get beat one time in the finals. Oh, they're going to get Kevin Durant.
You know who's got a home and home in the NBA next week? You know who's got a home and home
Who
next
week? Who has a home and home next week?
The Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, that'll be good.
The two best teams in the NBA who have both done team building.
Really?
Do they sprinkle?
Really?
Is Chris Paul on the Suns?
I mean,
sure.
Yeah, sure.
Mm. The Warriors have Andre Iguodala. Mm. Sure. But what's the core? Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. These were built teams
from
the ground up.
I don't know if it really makes a difference.
It does with the relationship with their fans. And by the way, the reason I'm talking about it is because it works. It's working.
Is it?
Those should be the model.
Russell Westbrook. Are you kidding me?
Let's go get Russell Westbrook.
It works in some markets. But, like when you're Green Bay, you have to do those kinds of things. You have to be more homegrown because you're not going to attract people to go there. Because remember, Odell Beckham Jr. had a choice between the Packers and the Rams.
Don't you think he made the wrong choice?
I mean, it just kind of depends on what you want out of life. I mean, he didn't want to spend 2 or 3 months up in Green Bay.
I get that.
Now.
Boy, he's lucky Robert Woods got hurt. What the heck would his role have even been on the Rams?
It wouldn't have mattered. He's just trying to get right. He's trying to get right. But you saw the deal he just did.
I know, but don't you
saw the deal he just did, taking all his money in Bitcoin?
But don't you want to show out? Like, if you're going to be, if you're going to be available, don't you? Like, don't you want to put something on film?
I mean, you just told me he was washed up. Like,
I didn't call him washed up. No,
the way you insinuated,
I said he's not what he was.
Yeah, you insinuated he's washed up. So now
that's not washed up.
Why not come to LA and do the Jim Brown thing?
Because I could play with Aaron Rodgers, who has made a career.
So then both of them can put their feet up on the table, so we all can look at his toes. Nah.
Look, Aaron's had a weird month.
Do you think
Aaron's had a weird month?
He's had a weird month.
Aaron's had a very weird month. However, he's also made a career out of making receivers look pretty good. No.
Yeah, I mean, look,
I mean, like,
if you ask me, I thought that was the best place for him professionally, in terms of being able to play opposite Davante Adams, being able to play with a quarterback that would allow him to do his stuff. I thought that would have been a perfect place for him. Having seen how guys like Charles Woodson and other guys kind of made it happen in Green Bay, yeah, I was pulling for that. But he came to L.A. L.A.'s fine.
Fine.
Hollywood. You saw him get off the private jet? All that else. He didn't even play much against the Niners.
No, they threw him the ball in the first play, and then I never saw him again.
He didn't ask to get thrown. Then everyone's blaming him.
I mean, no.
Blaming him for the loss. He's putting pressure.
You're a wide receiver. Robert Woods gets knocked out for the year. You go out in a game where you're down by double digits the minute they get off the bus, so you're going to throw the ball the whole game, and we don't even see you? We don't even see you?
I got there Thursday. I'm supposed to know the playbook? I'm supposed to know the playbook? No. Come on. Nah. He's fine.
First play was right to him.
I mean, yeah,
listen,
throw it in his zip code.
I have no problem with going to get your guys as long as it works. You're sitting here fighting.
You're so results oriented. You're not process oriented.
Actually, that's funny that you say that. I'm very much the opposite. I'm very much process results or process oriented. This process is not working. It's not working. All right, we got more on the Rams Packers game coming up around the bend. And should we be rooting for or against Cincinnati? We'll explain coming up.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Continuing on Fox Sports Radio this Saturday, indeed, in for Joyce Saylor, Mark Willard, Bucky Brooks. Michigan is up by 8 and threatening for more inside the red zone early fourth quarter. Keep you up to date on that. And in fact, moving now down inside the 5-yard line, set up 2nd and 1 yard to go from just inside the 5. So Michigan is in really, really good shape, and Jim Harbaugh's entire deal might be different here in about an hour. The narrative, the story that he can tell changes big time if he can win this game.
Yeah. Now what I like about it and what you've seen from Michigan this year, because last year was a disappointment, they've really committed to being a ground and pound team, but doing it in a different style. They have some pizzazz and sizzle, but they have gotten back to the essence of what I think Michigan football is. Michigan football is defined by the Bo Schembechler era. You got to be able to run the football, and they are cramming it down Ohio State's throat.
This is what you call a winter big boy football.
This is what, in my estimation, Michigan football should be. We are Michigan. We're gonna line up. We're gonna run the power, and we're gonna run it a million times. And they are cramming it down Ohio State's throat.
They're about to go over 30 points in this game, and they have thrown it a total of 20 times for 190 yards. And in fact, they are in. There they go. Back up by 2 scores, 9:14 to go in the game with an extra point pending. That one even got a couple claps on the sideline from Big Jim.
Yeah, but you've seen this, right? And you've seen this because I know you're up close. You talk about back in the day with the Niners and that stuff. It's the same recipe. It's the same formula. We're going to line up. We're going to be out physical. We're going to mash you. We're going to do what we need to do up front. And we're going to leave scars. And to me, I think what would be fascinating to see is if Michigan goes on and say they close the deal out, and then they have an opportunity next weekend, the Big Ten championship game, they close it out there. If they get into the playoff, I would just love to see them in the playoff. Just see what it looked like.
Oh, I mean,
just see what it looks like.
Right now, wouldn't you say in this moment, let's spotlight right now. It is 12:04 Pacific time on November 27th, 2021. Michigan is favored to go to the playoff, right?
Mm-hmm. We're going to bump out Cincinnati?
Well, let's talk about that for a second.
Let's talk about that for a second, because our guy, another former co-host of mine, Rich Ornberger, he tweeted something last night that caught my eye, and it caught my attention. Let me ask you this first before I read it. Do you care about fairness? My kids are sitting in the other room. I always tell them.
Life ain't fair.
Don't talk to me about fair. Mm-mm. Fair doesn't exist. Yeah. And in fact, in your world, here you live in California, mm-hmm. U.S. of A. Mm-hmm. All three of them are sitting there with their own iPad there in the other room right now as we speak, because mm-hmm. somebody's got to babysit them, because it isn't me. Don't talk to me about fair, because mm-hmm. if we do want to talk about fair, it's the other kids
yeah.
who are looking at you saying yeah. that it's not fair, right? Yeah. So I don't like to get into fairness too much, or at least keep their abilities to see the big picture. But what perks up in your brain when you hear that word, fairness?
Mm, like everybody gets a chance, everyone gets a blue ribbon participation trophy?
Well, yeah, in the sports phrase, yeah. fairness, what do you think?
Well, we all are treated like the same. We give everybody the same amount of credence if they win in versus smaller schools or bigger schools. And I don't think it's the same.
Of course not. So yeah. Rich sends out, even if you care about quote-unquote fairness, that a 13-0 conference champ Cincinnati team should make the playoffs over any one-loss Power 5 school. But if you care more about the playoffs being expanded, root for the Bearcats to be left out, because it makes the case for expansion even stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that?
Yeah, I actually want to see an expanded field, but if we need a tipping point moment where Cincinnati doesn't go in, see, because here's what happens if Cincinnati goes in. If Cincinnati goes in at 3 or 4 and we see them, fair or not, and let's just say they get absolutely obliterated by the Bulldogs. They play Georgia.
Which they might.
So now what happens is, on the other side, everyone's like, see? That's why we don't need to add more, because it's going to be just a bunch of these type games. Whereas if they don't go, we don't see that. We get it's the same old teams. I'm tired of seeing Georgia and Alabama or Georgia and whoever over and over and over again, yada, yada, yada. Now we expand it to 12. We get more games, more different teams, all that other stuff. So I like Rich's point. I'm okay with Rich's point.
Dude. So by the way, though, you also said if Michigan gets in, you sort of insinuated that means leave Cincinnati out. I mean, if Michigan goes in, it's Ohio State that's going to be out.
I know.
You know that spot for Cincinnati is going to come down to maybe Cincinnati or Notre Dame. That's what it could come down to.
See?
And you know what America wants to do there.
You know what happened right then? Like, in my stomach, it was like, ooh. Only because.
Right.
Only because.
Right, it's perfect.
It's actually perfect if you think about it. Only because.
It's perfect.
Unfairly, people are going to be like, oh, man, Notre Dame is going to come in and get waxed again. But, hey, they've been good enough to get there. The issue that you have with Cincinnati and Notre Dame is that Cincinnati beat Notre Dame by 10.
Yep.
They beat them by 10, but the committee.
Actually beat them by 11.
Yeah.
Why not?
The committee can say, like they were saying with Michigan and Michigan State, yeah, I understand that. But the numbers say, blankety, blankety, blank.
Oh,
gosh.
It's
you just love. You see,
it's exhausting.
See,
I think it's exhausting.
See, this is what I hate about what has happened to me in the years since I've been on this side, right? I now have become a person who no longer pulls for the purity of sport. I now root for storylines. And I know that the storyline would be, if you get Cincinnati, Notre Dame, this and that, big Notre Dame, the underdog, Cincinnati beat them, yeah, but am I going to tune in to watch? Am I going to tune in to watch? I don't even know. Like, you can see me on the quarterback Desmond Ridder, but am I really going to watch? Am I going to watch that? Like, is my New Year's Day going to consist of me pulling up with the turkey and all the stuff? Hey, let's sit down, Mark. We're about to eat. We're going to sit here. We got this. We got that. We got our drinks. We got everything lined up. Oh, who's on?
Cincinnati.
You know what? This might be my time to take a nap for the – like, hey, let's make sure we put them on at 3 o'clock. Put them on at 3 o'clock. So we see the other team at 6 or 7.
I took a good nap during that Bills Saints game. Oh my gosh. You know those naps where you're like, I didn't decide to do that. Like, you're just your body just forced. Thanksgiving every year. Every year. You ask the same question. Why do we do this? And then you look forward to it again the next year. I ate myself to sleep in front of a bad football game. You're right. And actually, I'm fascinated by the dynamic you just brought up because I've watched this throughout our entire industry, which is tons of former athletes, people who have made their entire world based on the competition, the beauty of sport that is on the field. And then you get away from the sport for about – I got the over-under usually about 3.5 years before the jaded part gets setting in. 3.5 years, and all of a sudden – this former elite athlete is like, eh, that's kind of a boring story. I don't really care about these guys that weren't recruited by Notre Dame, so they ended up in Cincinnati, and they beat Notre Dame by double digits, and they've got a perfect record. Eh, nobody wants to see them because the logo isn't what we want it to be.
I felt like that years ago when UCF rose to prominence. The Blake Bortles are, UCF, we're going to put them in the. Okay, man. Like, who are they playing? Are they playing what bowl game?
Mm-hmm.
Man, can they play that during the day? Like, I don't know if I want to see them in prime time. Can you play that? Like, give me and it's unfair. It's unfair. There's good ball that is being played at Cincinnati. They got a bunch of NFL prospects that are on those rosters. However, it's not a brand name or a marquee name. And I know we all say, like, hey, let's give the little guy a chance. But, man, we have so much history of, like, when we do see that.
It doesn't always work. Don't say never. Boise State, Oklahoma. Don't say never. It happens.
It does.
It happens.
Every now and then.
And I will fight to the death for the concept of sports being about who wins, not about who you think is going to win. That's the bothersome, the worst argument that I hear year in and year out when we get to the college football argument that always happens. And whether it's about who's number one or who's number four, whenever we get to the argument, someone will bring up, in this mythical game, let's say you got two teams, in this case, Cincinnati, Notre Dame, they'll go to Vegas and talk to an odds maker. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, who would be favored on a neutral field if these two teams played each other? And always Vegas will come up with the Power 5 one-loss team as a 6.5-point favorite over your undefeated little guy. And you'll go, see, that means they're better. Well, hold on a second. Sports has never been about what we think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Sports is about what does happen. And if you take away the possibility for the surprise – what on earth are we even doing here?
I understand.
Boredom actually doesn't exist in seeing the little guy play. The boredom exists in knowing that the big guy has already won before you even take the field.
Any given Sunday. I get what you're saying. That's the premise.
Or Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah. Anybody can win.
Right.
Everyone can do it. All those things. I get that.
You
it goes against
sound
every,
like you're
all
in
the
a
stuff.
Little league game all the time.
No, all the stuff that
you
we tell
you. You can do it.
You can do it, Johnny. The little engine that could. All that other stuff that we've. that we've heard or whatever and those things but we've seen it. But you know, okay, we're taking it back to basketball terms, like really when the Nuggets are making their way to the Western Conference Finals and you're like, hey, do I really want to see them in the finals,
right?
Like,
no, last year,
like
who was in the NBA final last year? You want to stump somebody, just ask them who played. Don't even ask who won the championship. Who was in the NBA Finals last year?
I'm talking about Milwaukee and Phoenix. It took me a while.
Like, right. The Lakers won 2 years ago.
Right.
You can't even remember.
Right. And
I get it.
I'm trying to even remember. How many of those games did I watch?
I don't know if I watched any of them.
I don't know if I watched any of them.
Right.
I knew Giannis was.
But I'll fight to the death on the ability. The ability to play. You got to play.
And so here's my other thing. And this is why, taking it all the way back, you were talking about team building. Ron Wolf, Hall of Fame executive, used to be general manager of the Green Bay Packers and such. They had a philosophy, and they still have a philosophy for the longest time. hey, man, we're only taking guys from big schools. It is too hard to say that, hey, I can get a little guy, a guy from a smaller school to get him ready. The odds say that it doesn't work like that. I'm taking big school guys. And I subscribe to, it's the Warren Buffett investment theory. Warren Buffett talks about brand names, invest in the things that are around your house. That's what it works, because you can try to find all these other things, but more times than not, it's the brand names that are the ones that are the most profitable, most successful. And so that's kind of how I feel with all things. I'm a brand name guy. When you tell me about guys or whatever, I like star power. I like this, I like that. I don't necessarily subscribe to, hey, give me the hidden gem that's out there. Yeah. I kind of want to know what it is.
I have more questions now that I want to ask you, which I will do along with this coming up next. Is the time up for one very big name quarterback in the NFL with his current team? We'll get to that. Peter Bukowski, co-founder of The Leap and host of Locked On Packers, is going to join us in just about 15 minutes or so with that Rams-Packers game coming up. And then we also keep an eye on the final 550 at the Big House with Michigan up by 15. Mark Willard and Bucky Brooks in for Joy on Fox Sports Radio. It hurt my heart yesterday, the driving around with the kids. And I played Christmas in Hollis for them. And they're like, Dad, what is this? This isn't very Christmassy.
Yeah.
I said, you kids, no dinner for you tonight.
No
soup for you. And no soup for the people who wanted to cruise to the finish line from Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. Ohio State just converted on two separate fourth down plays. One of them a fourth and five that ended up in the end zone. And we still got a one-score game in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Tough. Tough they caught him, man. It was a great play. Threw it out to Trevion Henderson. He catches a swing pass. They come with a little all-out blitz. They're trying to peel, which means the defensive end on the side of the back releases. He's going to go and get him.
Thank you for explaining it when you talk football to me. I don't like the broadcasters that are so the wide nine, and then you go and you're like, who are you talking to? Nobody knows what you're saying. So thank you for explaining it. I appreciate that.
Wow. Look at that.
I'm just saying. You don't want to talk over people's heads. You want to talk to, be of the people, Bucky.
Be of the people.
Of the people.
I get that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
of the people. Be a man of the people. I think you are. Mm. All right, so we'll keep you up to date on the final few minutes at Michigan, where they still do lead Ohio State by 8, and they are about to get the ball. Peter Bukowski, co-founder of The Leap, host of Locked On Packers podcast, is going to join us with that Rams-Packers game coming up tomorrow. While we're on the NFL, by the way, it seems to me, and I don't know if this is just like a you tell me, is this a loud drum beat? Is this a soft drum beat? It started in the offseason that maybe the Seahawks would trade Russell Wilson. Maybe they would. And then it just kind of went away. And then, of course, you want to pop out and go 3-7, that's going to pop up again.
Yeah.
And so now the thought is, oh, it's time for both sides to just get a new look and move on. Mm-hmm. It's not working anymore. Russ needs out of Seattle. If you were the Seahawks, how are you handling this situation?
Russ doesn't have a choice. Russ doesn't have any leverage.
He doesn't?
No.
I think the player always has some leverage.
Does he? What's his leverage?
I don't know. I mean, if Deshaun Watson had not gotten into his legal situation, there was a big debate going on about how much leverage he had in that in that moment. I felt he had almost all of it.
See, and I didn't believe he had any of it.
Why?
Because the new CBA, when they did the CBA amendments during the COVID situation, they made it very punitive for guys to hold out. Like very, very, very punitive when it comes to the amounts of fines and can't waive away the fines and all that other stuff. So it makes it nearly impossible for guys to say, hey, I'm just going to withhold my services. And so if Deshaun Watson doesn't have the other stuff that kind of flipped everything, then it made it a bigger issue. So with Russell Wilson was chirping last year because all the money, all the guaranteed money is done with this deal. So Russell Wilson, like most quarterbacks, when they look around the landscape and they saw Dak Prescott and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes get these deals that were in excess of $40 million annually, Russ is sitting down there at $35 million, which we would say, like, well, I mean, you're talking about $5 million, it's not that much. Oh. The ego thing joins into it because he can't look around and say,
right,
I'm a better player than those guys, and those guys are making more money than me, which is the same thing when we talk about Aaron Rodgers, because everyone can say, Aaron Rodgers, it was never about the money. Hey, dude, always about
always
the money. Always. So now Russ kind of pitched a fit a little bit and moaned and complained, wanted to get out, gave his list of teams and all that, which was cute. But he doesn't have any.
Called it cute.
It was cute.
Okay.
He doesn't have any say-so in the matter. And so before, what I would hear is the rumblings up in Seattle. They were kind of tired of dealing with the diva quarterback. He's a lot. He went from being Russ to humble, grounded Wisconsin Badger.
Third round pick
to now he's the celebrity quarterback. His other half is a star and all of that. And so he's become a lot more to deal with. Well, when you're Seattle and you have been successful parlaying and drafting picks way back, you can think about, well, maybe we need to move on and do this. Well, now it hasn't gone well. And so what went from, well, maybe we will go on, to, oh, no, we can't move on from Russ. We can't, because he is the foundational piece to help us rebuild this back. The quarterback is the toughest position to find. So why would I trade away the one that we know can play to get all these future assets to then do a bunch of lottery tickets to hope that we can get one that can play all over again? Now, I think he stays. Now, if there are other guys that can go, yeah, but the quarterback, he has to stay. And he and Pete and John Snyder, they got to kiss and make up and figure out a way to make this right.
Well, I'm with you 100%. I mean, there's, I guess it's different, but the only recent comp to what you're saying, which is, okay, we need to rebuild. We've got a quarterback that we like. I guess we should move in a different direction. It's kind of what the Lions did last year. And they haven't won a football game since. Now, they didn't win a whole lot of football games before they traded Matt Stafford. But I'm with you in theory. The concept is, as Michigan breaks free into the red zone, and it'll be first and goal at the 4-yard line with 2:53, and even with the college football rules, I think now.
No. You can't. Don't jinx him. No. Okay. I thought you were about to say it's over.
No. You go up two scores here. Look at that hurdle. Wow. That was a beautiful run. Okay. So Michigan is knocking on the door of really grabbing this game by the horns. But back to what we were saying about Russ, I'm glad you look at it that way because that was my initial thought. Seattle, if you move off of Russ Wilson, well, that's probably it for a decade.
Yeah.
Until you figure out, if you figure out what's going to happen next. These conversations, I always think of the Chicago Bears as Michigan goes right up the middle.
I think they might have let them score.
Hassan Haskins went in untouched. It did look like that, didn't it?
I think they let them score.
Well, that was their only chance. They got to get the ball back. 2:17 to go. If you let them run that clock all the way down, that's a wrap. Now at least you have a chance to.
How demoralizing is that when you have to send that call into your players?
Let me look. Let's look at it. Tell me if they actually let him. You tell me. Did they let him score?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah, they did. Oh, gosh. It's obvious.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the linebackers ran the other way.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? I just want you to understand this in a rivalry game. If Michigan closes this out, how Jim Harbaugh can go into the locker room and say, they quit.
Yep.
They quit.
Yep.
Oh.
It is.
No mas. No mas. That's basically what they did. No mas.
Hassan Haskins has 5 rushing touchdowns today, and Michigan leads 42-27. I'm so excited that my good friend Steve Hartman just walked in the building. He's been one of the guys that's just been pounding on Jim Harbaugh for 7 years, just pounding on him. You can't beat Ohio State. You can't beat your rival. What's the point? If you can't beat – well, we are 2 minutes and 17 seconds away from the end of that conversation.
We got Iowa Sam behind the glass, really excited.
Because, I just love this.
No, because you know what this
no,
is.
It has no, no,
you know,
no,
you know
no.
what this is, right?
No.
Mark, this is what happens. Like, and I'm gonna tell Iowa Sam, be careful what you wish for. So this is what we tend to do because I've now become an official fan about things or whatever. So what we do is we size up matchups and we're like, okay, well look, if we go, if we get into the championship game, now we'll play Michigan and not Ohio State, so we can beat Michigan. I don't know if we want to face Ohio State. And you know, whenever you start sizing that up and counting for these matchups.
I'm just happy to see them. I mean, this is a long time coming.
I don't want to upset Sam, but Iowa had no business even beating Nebraska yesterday.
Well, they did, and they will win the West if Minnesota beats Wisconsin today. They win the West.
Ruined my parlay, actually, which is why I was upset. But anyway, all right. Peter Bukowski on the Packers-Rams matchup that is big, is moments away. But the first person who needs to speak first is none other than the great Ralph Ervin with everything that is trending on a huge college football Saturday. Ralph, take it away.
Michigan, wow. 42-27. They lead Ohio State. 2:17 to play in the fourth quarter. How about Hassan Haskins? 28 carries for 169 yards. 5 touchdowns on the day. All told, Michigan has run the ball 39 times to 20 passes. 299 yards rushing. Can you say Ohio State might have trouble with the run? In which case, it probably wouldn't have worked out well for them in the playoff. I don't know. But goodness gracious, it has been a dominant performance. We'll see if Ohio State can pull some magic out. Right now, there are 3 finals already in the board. Number 1, Georgia shuts out Georgia Tech 45-0. Number 8, Baylor survives against Texas Tech 27-24. They're still alive in that Big 12 championship game race. Number 18, Wake Forest. They don't need to worry about a race. They're in the ACC championship game. They beat Boston College 41-10. Winning the Atlantic Division, they'll play Pittsburgh next week for that crown. Number 24, Houston. They're about to wrap it up. 7 seconds left, and they're going to beat UConn 45-17 as it goes final. They're going to take on Cincinnati next week in the American Conference Championship. Houston might make noise relative to the playoff if they could knock Cincinnati out for sure. And how about this? Cinderella may not have a slipper that fits a Roadrunner foot. That's because North Texas, a 31-13 lead over UTSA, number 22 UTSA, 3:04 to play in the first half in that contest. We send it back now. Mark Willard, Bucky Brooks, take it away.
Ralph, thank you very much. 1:19 to go. 3rd and 5 for Ohio State. They're down 15. It is a desperation situation at the Big House. And Jim Harbaugh's moment seems moments away. More on that here in just a second. But first, Peter Bukowski, co-founder of The Leap, host of the Locked On Packers podcast with the Packers and the Rams coming up tomorrow. Let's get him in here with Mark Willard and Bucky Brooks in for Joy Taylor today. Peter, great to have you. How would you describe the last 3 to 4 weeks for Aaron Rodgers and how it may have changed the way Packers Nation sort of views him?
Wow. You know, that a lot.
Right.
A lot has happened. And, you know, it's really interesting that it comes to on the heels of an offseason of turmoil, of angst, of all of that stuff. And I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers, for whatever skeptics had been out there in Packers Nation, and there had been, you know, a group of fans that are going, okay, if this guy doesn't want to be here, then we'll move on. We got Jordan Love, and that's the deal. But then he goes out and he has a moment like he did against Chicago. I still own you. And it's like, man, if you're a cheesehead, how does that, and how are you not fired up to have 12 doing that again? And they're winning these, you know, they win a late close game against San Francisco on a last second field goal. And he's, you know, the whole dropping dimes and suck it sign thing. Like he's still that guy. And so then to have this bizarre situation with his vaccination status and did he lie about it? And then the Pat McAfee interview. I mean, it has all gotten truly bizarre, but guess what? If this is the last dance, I mean, anyone that was around for those mid to late 90s Bulls teams remembered it was that same sort of circus every single week. It was something new. There was a new headline about something. They've really, I guess, embraced that whole idea.
You know, and thinking about the Aaron Rodgers thing and the Green Bay Packers thing, and if this is truly the last dance, because you have Devontae Adams also trying to figure out if he's going to be around. What is the ceiling on this Packers team? Like, how do you feel about, or how do Packer fans feel about this Packers team in terms of their ultimate potential?
Well, you know, I think right now the team as currently constructed, they're a contender in the NFC. if and when Za'Darius Smith, Jair Alexander, and David Bakhtiari come back, and the expectation right now is that at the very least David Bakhtiari and Jair Alexander have a good chance to come back in the next couple weeks, then I think I look at them and they seem to me like they should be the favorite because they went into Arizona on a short week without Davante Adams and Alan Lazard and beat the Cardinals. They're not going to be afraid of that team. And this is the matchup this week, right, guys? Like the Packers and the Rams are probably the two teams along with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who look the scariest with the Arizona Cardinals. And so if they come out with a third string left tackle without Jair Alexander, without Za'Darius Smith, and still beat this Rams team that, it, you know, they're all in, they're Super Bowl contenders, all that stuff, then they solidify themselves in that spot. And I think they can do it because, you know, you look at someone like Josh Neijman, who's got to come in now and play that left tackle spot with Elgton Jenkins, unfortunately, gone for the year. He started three games earlier in the season. San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. I mean, not exactly. You know, our sisters of perpetual sorrow in terms of the fronts that he's faced. He's faced some real guys, and that offense has held up for the Packers. They could be getting Aaron Jones back this week. He practiced limited all week. Alan Lazard practiced limited all week. We'll see what their statuses are tomorrow afternoon. It looks like they're going to get Rashawn Gary back, who has quietly been excellent for them this season. So the talent there, I mean, this is something that I talk about all the time. Next man up is a really nice thing to say, but if you don't have the guys to back it up, it's just a saying. And this Packers team, I think, has proven that they are extremely deep, they're extremely well coached, and it's not just that they can bring the next guy in and he can play, it's that they can bring the next guy in and he can play. Like, that guy has real ability, and the coaches are getting the most out of them right now, which is a pretty dangerous combination.
Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, our guest here on Fox Sports Radio. As a quick aside, the celebration is on at the Big House. Michigan defeats Ohio State 42-27, and we'll have a little bit more on that coming up in just moments. Peter, looking at the Rams the last two times they've played, they've been held to a total of 26 points over two games. Matt Stafford has not looked good. They've lost both games by double digits. Do you feel like the league has found something that the Packers can tap into in this game tomorrow?
Well, you know what's funny is Packer fans have watched the last 2 weeks and they've gone, hey, we know that guy. We know that Matt Stafford.
Right.
He's been in Detroit for the last decade. And it's not that he hasn't been a good player. He certainly has his ups and downs. But I think this is, you know, if you're a Bears fan or a Vikings fan or even a Lions fan, it's like, okay, we know that what the highs are with Matt Stafford. But we also know what the lows are. And I think some of those lows we thought, I think a lot of really smart people, including and especially the Rams, thought, hey, if we get this guy in with Sean McVay and Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods with this run game, that the lows could be mitigated, that you could take some of the head scratching out of Matthew Stafford. And if you look at some of the advanced numbers, the EPA per play numbers and stuff like that, this offense is actually very, very similar in terms of raw productivity to the Jared Goff peak years. And you're still getting those WTF moments from him that you were getting in Detroit where he's sailing throws over guys' heads or he's YOLOing a deep ball for you know, reasons that are clear only to him, or he's missing an overhang defender when he's got pressure in his face, something like that. And it's just they're the kind of mistakes that have been really costly for this team the last few weeks. I think it also needs to be said that they try to play this wide open scheme where they're going a lot more four wide, they're going empty, and they're trying to just let Matt Stafford cook. And their bread and butter under Sean McVay has been, let's run outside zone, let's boot off of it, let's play action, let's hit our shot plays, let's not make mistakes, and let's let the playmakers make the plays. And I think they became just a little too reliant on Matt Stafford to do that. It's really hard to make a living like that in the NFL with all the two shell that you're seeing now. It's so hard to create explosives. I look at them and I think they're in a little bit of an identity crisis right now.
You know, it's funny you talked about the two shell. One of the other things that's been a trend in the league has been the reemergence of the big running back. And I notice when I look at the Green Bay Packers, A.J. Dillon looks like he has given this offense a little bit of a different dimension. What are you hearing? What are you seeing when you watch the Packers with A.J. Dillon in the game?
God, I just got a smile on my face, Bucky, as you were saying that. Because, that part of the game, it is so fun to see it reemerge. And to see, you know, if you're going to play light boxes, if you're going to play 5 and 6 man boxes, you have to have someone who can take advantage. And by the way, the Rams have been unable to do that with Daryl Henderson, with Sony Michel. The Packers with A.J. Dillon, he brings a different element. And I think what has really separated him, we knew he was a hammer, and he is. I mean, this is a guy whose you know, quads have their own zip code. And he is able to bring that power element. But also what he's been able to do in the passing game, guys, his hands are so much softer than I think a lot of the pre-draft evaluators thought. It's a great example of a player not being asked to do something in college, and so we assume he can't do it. And that just hasn't been the case. I mean, we've seen A.J. Dillon make some leaping catches. He made an incredible play a couple weeks ago on a screen where he was falling down because the pass was at his ankles. He was able to catch it, turn, regain his balance, and he picked up like 20 yards on that play. So it's not just the contact balance. It's the catch balance. Catch, turn, and make something happen for a guy who's 6 feet, 250, and runs 4.5, and all the explosive traits that he has. To add that in as an element in this game, it has allowed Aaron Rodgers, with the absence of Aaron Jones, to stay patient and say, okay, if I can't get the ball to Marquez Valdez Scantling down the field, and they've got a safety over the top of Davante Adams, then I've got A.J. Dillon, you know, free in the flat, and that's a free 8, 10, 12 yards. And we saw against the Seahawks late in the game, cold. It's going to be cold at Lambeau tomorrow. Who wants to tackle A.J. Dillon when it's dark, when it's cold, and in the fourth quarter? I mean, I think it's going to continue to be a weapon for this Packers offense.
Big game, America's game of the week on Fox tomorrow with the Rams and Packers. Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers. Thank you so much, Peter. That was great.
Anytime, guys.
All right, there he goes. Peter Bukowski on the Packers, and that game coming up tomorrow at 1:25 Pacific, America's Game of the Week on Fox. But America's big story today is happening at the Big House. They're all over the field. Michigan has defeated Ohio State. Jim Harbaugh has his moment. How is life different for Jim after today? We'll ask Bucky that coming up next with Bucky Brooks, Mark Willard in for Joy Taylor on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go.
I mean, it was December 24th. I mean, how?
Yeah.
How can you not listen to this and have it get into your bloodstream?
Oh yeah, this is it for you.
A little reindeer. I mean, you're gonna tell me this doesn't give you the Christmas feels? Also gives you Argyle driving through the garage of the Nakatomi Plaza. When he's able to pin that other guy in the truck up against the wall, like, come on, this is iconic Americana here we're talking about.
Oh, my gosh, look at you. Oh,
come on, man.
Look at you.
It's been a lot of fun to be here with you today, man.
Man, it was a blast. It was a lot of fun.
To be here with you today.
A lot of fun.
My gosh. It's like 2015 all over again
turn
or something
back,
like that.
Turn it back, turn the clock.
It's like, yeah.
Turn it back.
Real good to be here. So, we thank Joy Taylor for letting us hang out for a couple hours, as if she had anything to do with it. But hello and happy holidays to Joy as well, and glad to be back and hang and watch Jim Harbaugh take down Ohio State.
How about that? The fighting Harbaughs.
How does this change everything for the conversation surrounding him as the head coach in Michigan?
Well, I mean, I think it changes it a lot because that was the biggest thing. If he caps it off with the Big Ten championship win, then the narrative changes a ton because you had, you know, they made some changes to his contract and all that other stuff, made the buyout less. So now he becomes a hot candidate again. You know, you look at the record, you look at the things, because people talked about what he couldn't do, but man, look at what he's done. Look at how he's done. The rebuild has been a little slower at Michigan, but that Michigan team I saw today, look like those old Stanford teams that used to hit you in the face and the guts and beat you up, and the same 49er team that used to beat you up and hit you in the face and all that other stuff.
Same way the 49er team has played the last 2 weeks, which makes them a factor again in the NFC if they can keep it up, right?
It does make the Niners a factor again, and I think it's always better when the Niners are in the mix in that division, because that division is really tough. You got the Rams, you have the Cardinals, you now have the Niners kind of making – a run. And if the Niners play the way that they played the last couple of weeks, where they really lean into the running game, they haven't done all the the cute passing stuff. They've gotten into it and being creative with their run plays. Deebo Samuel is a star. Brandon Ayuk is out the doghouse getting reps and playing. And then they're just finding out anybody and everybody off the street who can play running back and just kind of throw them in the game.
Which is what you got to do, by the way.
Get them going.
I mean, go down real quick, because I was doing this yesterday. Go down the list of the supposed top running backs in the NFL. And even if you go statistically, it's crazy. Jonathan Taylor is up there leading the league in rushing right now, and he's had a clean year. But after that, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, Zeke Elliott now being talked about as maybe having to sit out for a few weeks. We know about Christian McCaffrey. Almost everybody has been dinged up, messed up, had something sort of derail their process. I mean, the whole idea of, and I feel like you and I had this conversation a few years ago, like the idea of breaking off that big contract for the running back.
Oh,
that's a hard thing to do now, isn't it?
Man, you don't want to draft him in the first round. Now you don't want to pay him.
I don't.
You just want him to be worker bees. You just want to wear him out and then dispatch
think,
him.
I don't think you can.
So here, can you? Here's what happens, because everyone thinks the 17. It shouldn't be a huge difference when you add a game, but when you add that game. 17 games to have one guy kind of tote the mill for the entire time, it just makes it very, very difficult. And so when it comes to the running backs, you got to have a staple of them. But I will say this, you make the mistake of just getting guys off the street. The better the quarterback, the less important it is for the running back.
Okay.
You have an A-level quarterback, you have an Aaron Rodgers, then you can take chances and maybe not have an A-level running behind them. The worse the quarterback, the better the running back needs to be. Let's look at Tennessee. Ryan Tannehill doesn't look the same without King Henry behind him. And so you just kind of have to know where you are in that mix. I would also say this. Russell Wilson hasn't looked the same since Marshawn Lynch disappeared. But we can use that for another time.
True statement.
When I call in and I feel like having a hot take on your thing, and
when
we can just drop a nugget.
When you respond to one of my text messages.
You know, just, I like to play hard to get.
I know you get more attention. I know you do.
Play hard to get.
No, it's true. It's true. It's worked out. I mean, it's not like I stopped texting, right? I don't think Jim Harbaugh does need to win the championship
game. No, he has to win it.
Nope.
No,
nope.
He has to win it.
You can't do that. You can't say for years, if you just beat Ohio State and then he beats Ohio State and the next day you're like, okay, now you got it. No. It's over, isn't it?
No, we keep raising the bar.
It's over.
We raise the bar.
It's over.
Look, it's not fair.
No. It's
over.
It's
not fair.
No, our show. It's over. It's over. It's Steve Hartman and Jeff Schwartz now that get to come in here and do stuff.